Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that visit with him. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get back into the Titans here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to play some comments that Jeff Darlington had on ESPN yesterday. I think he was on Get Up. And they were talking about the Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr situation. Obviously, we know Aaron Rodgers. I have no idea as to whether or not he's emerged from his darkness retreat at this point. Derek Carr has met with the Saints, and he has met with the New York Jets as well. And Jeff Darlington yesterday on Get Up providing the latest information that he has on the Rodgers and Carr situation. Here's what Jeff Darlington had to say on ESPN.
I've learned two things in the past 24 hours that make me kind of believe that the Jets, it's time for them to simply sign Derek Carr. The first of which is a conversation I had with a very important Green Bay Packers source, who quite honestly believes that Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers and that all of this is being overhyped. He looks at the contract that Aaron Rodgers signed last year, the commitment that he gave to the team, and believes that at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers will be back with the Packers. There's another bit of information, and that is the impeccably sourced report from Diana Rossini talking about that the Jets told Derek Carr in his meeting that they believe that with the Jets, he will be a Hall of Famer. Okay? If that's not just total BS, if they're just not trying to inflate him, which maybe that is the case, go sign Derek Carr right now. You're potentially waiting on a guy in Aaron Rodgers who might or might not be available when you have a guy who is just in your building who you believe will be a Hall of Fame quarterback as a New York Jets player. What are you waiting on?
So that was Jeff Darlington on Get Up yesterday. A couple of different things there. Number one, according to one of his Packers sources, I guess they at least think that Aaron Rodgers will eventually be back with Green Bay. And apparently the pitch to Derek Carr from the New York Jets is that he'll be a Hall of Fame quarterback if he comes and signs with the Jets there. And Darlington said, well, if that's the case, just go sign Derek Carr right now. What are you waiting on?
Yeah, if you actually believe that, how could you – why would you think of anything else?
I don't know. I heard that yesterday and I said, huh, Hall of Fame quarterback for Derek Carr if he joins the Jets, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Recruiting, man. Recruiting can, you know, make people say interesting things.
Yes, it can.
So – that's interesting on Rodgers, though. I mean, it's not shocking. Would you all of a sudden re-embrace, you know what, I can put up with this crap for another year as a Packers fan?
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
Look, honestly, I've reached the point I don't really care either way. Like, if he's back, I still believe that's the best chance the Packers have to win a Super Bowl. If he's not back, at least you don't have to deal with all the crap that comes with him. That's kind of where I'm at with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Well, that would certainly simplify things, if that's the case. You know,
that would really hurt the quarterback move at this offseason. We were talking about Brady and Rodgers on the move at one point, and Brady's retired, and if Rodgers goes back to Green Bay, that puts a damper on the quarterback movement.
Yeah, it's not nearly the fun offseason that the quarterback. But there's still some fun to be had, including. You know, someone tweeted this yesterday about, like, the odds of Tannehill being with the Panthers somehow. Mm. Like, one of the sports books has just totally inflated the Tannehill to the Panthers, probability.
Interesting. Why would they do that?
I don't know. Maybe the Panthers going to trade for – is there buzz? Is there some – leak out there that the Panthers going to trade for Ryan Tannehill?
I got it. Jim Irsay, you know, he called Frank Reich and was like, dude, you got to help me out. I kept you this extra year. It's a whole conspiracy. That's what
so
it is.
Jim is asking Frank to get Tannehill out of the division.
Yeah.
Because he's that makes sense. And Frank doing something Jim Irsay wants would also make sense.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, look, if Carr, I've always thought, like, if the Titans were going to trade Tannehill this offseason, the Jets would make a lot of sense.
Yep.
Now, if Carr goes there, now, again, these are just, keep in mind, you know, Darlington throwing this out there does not mean that Aaron Rodgers is going back to the Packers or that Derek Carr is going to the Jets, but it is interesting report nonetheless. Like, I've always thought if Tannehill was going to be traded, the Jets would be an interesting spot for him, but like the Panthers, it didn't make any sense to me. They're a young team. They just hired a new coach. You know, you think you want to identify your quarterback of the future with the new coach.
Yeah, well, true, but it's also like we talked about with that division. Any of them could be like, let's win the division this year. Because if they brought in Tannehill, I think they would.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, well.
And the Saints have been trying to get Carr. So.
Yeah, I mean, that division is so bad. Like just thinking about the quarterback situation in the NFC South right now.
I mean, you could make the case for all of them. Like, again, we talk about the Titans and they're at 11, but what next year would be better?
I mean,
the entire NFC South could be like, they might all, you know, fall all over themselves to lose this year because they all want Caleb Williams, you know?
Yeah. Zach in Nashville says, but why would Rodgers stay with the Packers when his buddy Chad Brinker is here in Nashville? It's from Zach in Nashville.
Well, you know, Chad Brinker.
I've heard somebody make that connection before.
Yeah, that's a great point. But, you know, Chad Brinker may only hired, of course, for his Aaron Rodgers insights, which he gives while he sits, in the press box during games and watches him from afar. You know, Chad, what do you think of Aaron?
Yes.
Once he gives his insights, he may not. Who knows? Maybe he won't be here any longer.
Chip from Mount Juliet says, as much of a Packer guy as I am, please, Packers, move on from Rodgers. I got another text that says, Aaron's a drama queen. It sucks that he's so good, and we got to do this offseason. Chris on Twitter says, do you simpletons still think he's coming to the Titans? It's from Chris on Twitter. I don't know if we've ever said we think he's coming to the Titans.
Yeah, I have not said that. But we have talked about the possibility. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, there is some quarterback move in the NFL lately.
Yeah, that's happened.
These things do happen.
Oh, and there are some openings at quarterback around the NFL, too. So until he's back with the Packers or he's traded or whatever it is, it's at least out there.
Yeah.
I mean, look, McAfee asked him about it, not us. A.J. Hogg did.
So
smoking heaters with Vrabel down there in Nashville.
So the next time he'll go, it'll be like next week.
I have no idea. Like, I think he's technically done, but he can just pop on there at any time.
Oh, he only does that during the season?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. I mean, we got to have a play-by-play of the darkness.
I hope so.
Like, regardless of where he goes, that's what I'm more interested in.
I mean, that's the real question. I mean, I would assume he's out of it at this point. I mean, he went in late last week, so unless he's turned it into like a 5 or 6 day darkness retreat, like, I assume he's out of there. Don't want to report it because then, you know, might get after me a little bit like he did Ian Rappaport last week. But
yeah,
just saying.
Be careful. Zach says maybe the Panthers haven't identified a franchise QB in this particular class. Tannehill would be an inexpensive bridge QB, let you win the division, also buy time. And that's
true. But if you haven't identified a franchise quarterback in this particular class, you're in perfect position with a new coach and a bad roster if you're Carolina to identify that guy in the next draft.
And then get that guy. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like Matt Corral could play for them next year. They have Matt Corral. They did draft Matt Corral. Yep. So, in theory, you could play, see what you have in him. Again, that's kind of like the Fank idea, you know, that I threw out there during the season about like Malik Willis next year. You know, you see what you have, and if you happen to lose, well, you know, you lose
so
some games.
Yeah. Josh from Murfreesboro says, Joe, we all know when you say you're 86% sure that Tannehill is back, that really means you're 100% sure that Rodgers is coming. It's from Josh from Murfreesboro on the text line.
Look, you have to talk about the possibility. Again, it's like if you even talk about it a little bit, then someone's going to take it as, oh, so Rodgers is coming, huh, you idiot? No, I mean, who has said that? I mean, even Jared has not said that.
No, he's not.
Jared got the real estate information a year ago.
He did.
And, you know, that it is.
As he had reminded us about many times.
Yeah. It's valid information.
It is.
It means something. It means he likes Nashville.
Yeah, he does.
Or he just made an investment. I don't know.
615.
Remember when Matt Duchesne had that place for years before he came here?
It's like, oh, my God, Matt Duchesne bought a place in Nashville. Now, he eventually ended up here.
He did end up here.
I'm just saying. 615-737-1025. We'll switch gears coming up next to get into the Preds. Some bad news on the Predators front yesterday. We'll get into that and much more. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Some bad news on the Predators front yesterday. We discussed the injury that Ryan Johansson sustained against Vancouver on Tuesday, where he left the ice, looked like the skate blade of Quinn Hughes made contact with the back part of his lower leg area, and that was all she wrote for Ryan Johansson that night. Went back to the bench, struggled to get there, and then, as Teresa Walker put it, was on crutches and in a walking boot after the game on Tuesday night against Vancouver. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet putting it out there yesterday that Ryan Johansson was scheduled to have surgery yesterday. So, you know, I'm no doctor. I don't know specifically what's going on, but when you're talking about skate blade and surgery, that is not a very good combination when it comes to Ryan Johansson. I know Chase and Michelle had Matt Duchene on yesterday, and he sounded pretty defeated on the Ryan Johansson front in terms of what that could mean for him the rest of the year. So I don't think it's a stretch to say, you know, with surgery being involved, Joe, that Ryan Johansson for sure is going to be out a while and could be out the rest of the year. Hopefully some more information on that coming today, but not great news on the Ryan Johansson front with Elliot Friedman putting it out there that he required surgery yesterday. Yeah.
No, and it's an awful-looking injury. You said it off the air earlier. You see something like that, and you do sometimes wonder, like, why doesn't this happen more often? But it's just it's a terrible combination of the skate to that part of your unprotected part of your leg, and I'm not going to get into my knowledge of tendons. I do know that there's an Achilles tendon down there.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, pure speculation, but it's hard not to think about that just in the general area. If there is, if he does need surgery, then I would have to think that would definitely end his season, right, at this point, given where we are in the season. So terrible break. And, you know, his reaction, the amount of help he needed getting in the locker room the other night, the lack of weight on the foot, as Teresa Walker saw as he was walking out of Bridgestone, and all of it adds up to just brutal break. And it's his reaction, too. I mean, he was obviously so frustrated, and I'm sure in a lot of pain. So that's a terrible break for Ryan Johansson.
No question about it. And, you know, I've got a little bit more to say about this later on at 7:45. I'm looking forward to that discussion coming up a little bit later in the show, because quite frankly, some of the reaction I saw to it yesterday kind of pissed me off. So we'll get to that coming up at 7:45. But, you know, obviously on the hockey side of this, you're now in a spot where you're the Predators. By the way, Calgary won last night, so they're back up to 5 points ahead of you. Minnesota won the other night, so you're still 7 points back of them. And now you're David Poile looking at this, and you've got Forsberg out of the lineup. Poile on our show a couple of days ago made it sound like he's probably not playing on this road trip. And now you got Johansson out of the lineup. So you're talking about two guys in your top six that are not available for you. I mean, they've had, relatively speaking, they've had pretty decent injury luck all year long. And right now you're with no Johansson, no Forsberg, and no Alex Carrier that you've been dealing with. And the injuries at key spots starting to pile up, and the trade deadline is still – what, 10 days away at this point? Well, less than that. We're less than 2 weeks away at this point.
I mean, let's say they win these two games. I would think this, you know, even if Johansson had not gotten hurt, but, you know, you beat these two bad teams on the road. It's good for the room. They feel good about
sure.
it. You'd prefer that to losing, but I don't see how any information here between now and the deadline should change how David Poile looks at the deadline.
Well, right. Like beyond the Johansson thing, I mean, I made it pretty clear the other day. I think they should sell, and I think David Poile's leaning that way anyway. But, like, to me, from a hockey standpoint on this, like, doesn't it kind of force your hand a little bit? I mean, we know they're not going to buy. They're certainly not going to buy just because Ryan Johansson's got hurt now. At least I think that would be a tremendous mistake if they did that. And now you're talking about one of your top two centers that is gone, regardless of what you think of the year that Johansson's had. And I realize he has underperformed this year. But you are talking about one of your top two centers that is now not available for you for the foreseeable future. Without knowing the specifics of exactly what's going on, I mean, we could kind of read the tea leaves here and say he's probably going to be out for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and so, no, I mean, ultimately, you're even with him playing, he's had a not great season, but your ceiling just went down, and it wasn't all that high anyway. So, be interesting to see now. I mean, they have plenty of people who play center among their forwards. They have a ton of centers, actually. So, you could do a lot of different things. Is McCarron a possibility, do you think?
Could be. You know, I'm interested to see what they do here because you've got, obviously, Glass as an option at center. You have Parsonen, who's been playing down the middle. You know, Colton Sissons, who can play down the middle. But you also have Matt Duchene, who has been a center for the majority of his career. I know he's been on the wing with you, and you don't want to – they're probably not going to break him up and put him back at center. I'd be surprised if they do that. I'm just saying they got options as to what they could do. Like, are you moving – a Parsonen up, that's probably the way I'd go. Just move Parsonen up and see what he can do in an elevated role here. But, you know, with no Johansson and no Forsberg, a top six that, quite frankly, was already not good enough anyway, I mean, I think it's just it's more and more weakened now with those two. I mean, obviously with Forsberg out. Now, Forsberg hopefully is back maybe next week. I guess we'll see. But, you know, with Johansson out the rest of the way, you're – going to get a pretty good look at one of these young guys in an elevated role, would be my guess.
Right. And that's – look, I think that ultimately the most – the way things are going to unfold is that in the last month, for sure, last almost 2 months. I mean, that's a thing. There's still a long way to go. I think the biggest point of interest for fans is probably going to be just – looking at certain young players. Like, to me, it's like Tomasino, okay, rest of the year, let's see what he can do because he's so important moving forward.
Yeah. You know,
to me, he's an untouchable young player who has a lot of promise, and you want to see signs of, you know, of progress there and momentum for him going into next year along with some of the other guys, Parsonen, and certainly. I mean, there are some good young stories. I mean, Cody Glass – of guys who are going to be, I think, you know, part of the group, whatever it looks like, whenever they're done, you know, changing things, that are going to be part of this core moving forward.
Sean on the text line says, these kind of dangerous skate incidents happen enough for a manufacturer to have developed a sock that prevents this type of injury. Why do more guys not wear them? I feel awful for Joey. This from Sean on the text line. I don't know. Like, I have no idea what kind of sock Johansson was wearing. You know, they do make stuff to try and help prevent this, but sometimes, I mean, you're just dealing with a skate blade that's, I mean, it's...
Right, I mean, if it's enough of not, an impact...
This is, just so you know, like, this is not a skate blade that you could go find at, like, the rent-a-skate that you're doing, like, that's been barely sharpened. Like, these skate blades are sharp because they've got to be able to be on their edges and move around freely that way. And like I said, I mean, it just... Every time I see something like this, I just cringe. It just... You know, I do wonder how it doesn't happen a little bit more often than it does. You know, there have been some incidents with skate blades in hockey that have been up a little higher around the neck area that have been really borderline disastrous. So, you know, it's part of the risk that you take when you're out there. But when you see it happen, it just, you know, I'm with Sean. I feel awful for Johansson watching that happen the other night.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, look, if you have if there's enough force and it's a straight on impact with the skate, I don't know what you're going to, like, what, how are you going to.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not smart enough to know what technology goes into all that, but yeah, I mean, it's a really tough break, is what it is. I mean, it's just, you know, Quinn Hughes obviously didn't do it on purpose. It's just sometimes things happen in the NHL. And, you know, you talk about with him specifically. Like, Johansson, for the most part, has been healthy during his time with the Predators, but this is now two just, like, freakish accidents that have happened with Johansson.
Going back to the compartment syndrome?
Yeah, going back to the playoffs with compartment syndrome that took him out of the Western Conference Final with that just kind of, like, knee-to-knee collision with Josh Manson, and then his leg just ballooned up on him, and now you've got a skate blade incident. Man, you're talking about two really rare and scary things that have happened with Ryan Johansson in the span of 6 years.
Yeah, and of course the difference this one versus that one is, you know, at this point in his career and everything, you know, you hope that he can come all the way back. Again, we don't know exactly what it is or what surgery he needs, but that's serious stuff,
yeah.
You know, and potentially impacting what it looks like moving forward for him.
Take more of your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to. We will do that coming up next. Open up our phone line as well, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
One of the, you know, guys that makes this team go on and off the ice, and, you know, it's tough to see, you know, losing a guy like that. So, I think he's in good spirits. He's disappointed, but, you know, I saw him after the game last night, and so we got to pick up some slack here about, you know, him being out of the lineup, believe, for sure.
That was Matt Duchesne yesterday on Chase and Michelle discussing the status of Ryan Johansson. Elliot Friedman reporting yesterday that Ryan Johansson required surgery from his injury on Tuesday night. So taking your thoughts on that, on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of Preds fans wanting to see Novak move up and get a shot in the top six. He has played very well lately. I mean, with this opening, I'm interested to see what they do. Maybe it is Novak. Maybe it's Parsonen being elevated up. I don't know exactly what John Hines is going to do here with the lineup opening, but there's no question Novak has played, I think, really well over the course of the past week, especially for the Predators.
Yeah, he's on a little bit of a heater, so I think that's definitely a possibility for sure. Got some I lost my – this is totally different, but this question – actually, I meant to bring this up today, just real quick. Shea Weber. Shea Weber is now an
Arizona Coyote.
Arizona Coyote, yeah. Or yeah. Shea Weber's contract is now an Arizona Coyote.
Yes.
And the Preds on Weber's contract, at this point, all the concerns about the...
I believe they're alleviated, but I'll have to double check.
I believe so, too. I think they're in the clear now.
But it is kind of amazing, like the... The roster that the Arizona Coyotes can put together of, like, guys that never played for them but have long-term contracts there, or long-term injured reserve contracts there, like Chris Pronger had his contract go there. Datsyuk had his contract go there. I want to say there was another one besides Weber that I'm missing.
That's a heck of
Hossa,
a ring.
I think he's Marian Hossa.
Yeah, do they have a ring of honor there?
I don't know.
That would be amazing.
Welcome Coyotes legend Shea Weber into the building tonight.
Oh, my God.
And that was after his contract had already been traded to Vegas from Montreal this past year. So
that's right.
Golden Knights and Coyotes legend, Shea Weber, out there.
Yeah, be all over the league.
Helps him get the cap floor, so good for the Coyotes, I guess. I got a text that says, the Blackhawks have two bad contracts in Kane and Taze, but in 2 years tanked to 4 first-round picks and 5 second-round picks. It's impressive. And the Preds, ? Well, first off, I would – heavily push back on Patrick Kane being a bad contract for the Blackhawks. Now, is he an expensive contract? Yes. He's also been one of the top players in the league for 15 years.
He's still really good.
So
Taves has been hurt.
Taves has been hurt. Taves is a bad contract. Like, it's not worked out the way that they thought it would with him. So I hear you there. And Kane has not been as productive this year. Now, the team he's playing on is terrible. So that takes away some of your production.
Where the heck is he going to be?
I don't know. They're still, like, I think he wants to be in New York. I think he wants to be with the Rangers, and obviously they've already made a move to get Tarasenko. There's chatter that they may still try it with Patrick Kane, but it's going to be hard to pull off from a cap perspective.
They're like, you know what? We'll take Tanner Janot instead. How about that?
Well, maybe.
They're hovering.
They're hovering.
The Rangers are hovering around here right now.
So I'm interested to see what happens on that point. Now, I hear this stuff about the Blackhawks, like, oh, they're tanking, they're doing it right, and they'll be good.
Yeah, fun
in a
times.
Few years. Maybe they will be. I don't know. Like, people act like this was a part of their plan the whole time. Like, they've already tried to tank once, and it didn't work. They tore it down to some degree, as much as they could, basically after 2018. Like, the Predators put them out of their misery in 2017. They traded Panarin. And then the next year they got beat in the first round of the playoffs again, and that was it. Like, that was the last time that they were any good. So they tanked then, and then they, you know, last offseason went out and got Seth Jones, and right. they got Marc-Andre Fleury, and they had Alex DeBrincat, and they had all these things.
Those aren't tank moves.
Like, their idea was not to tank then. Like, they tried to be good and didn't work, and now they completely tore it down. So this idea that, like, this has been a part of the plan the whole time for the Blackhawks, it has not. It didn't work the first time, and now they're trying to do it again.
I mean,
and maybe this one does, but this is not, like, the original plan as to what it was.
I mean, if we could find some of our discussions from, like, when they got Seth Jones, like, it could be interesting.
I mean,
actually, no.
Look, I'll raise my hand. I picked them ahead of the Predators last year. So did a lot of people. A lot of people thought they could be a playoff team last year.
Right.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. And also, by the way, as I can attest from, you know, some of my friends in Chicago and family, like, people again forget that they exist. The Chicago Wolves are again a more followed team in Chicago than the Blackhawks. So,
yeah.
Easy to get lost in that city.
It's very easy to get lost in that city. You know, it is interesting because, like, the deadline, like, the Predators tonight, they're taking on San Jose. And, like, still the top prize at the deadline, I guess, beyond Patrick Kane, so because Patrick Kane is going to be the most exciting rental player that gets dealt coming up. But Timo Meier, at his age, like I would assume whoever trades for him is going to want an extension along with it. And the Predators play the Sharks tonight. You know, is he going to be a part of things tonight as they move on? He's been dealing with a little bit of a nagging injury too, so I'm interested to see what happens.
Those nagging injuries get a little more nagging when you're about to be moved.
They do. So I'm interested to see what happens on that front. And, like, if you're the Predators, like, quite frankly, the other night, I didn't think they played overly well. Now, you ended up winning the game somehow. I mean, you almost totally blew it with over a minute left. But even before that, like, I didn't think they played overly well in that game. But you found a way to get the 2 points. Like, do you have enough in the tank to finish off this road trip? I know it's Arizona and San Jose. But, like, right with no Forsberg, no Carrier, and no Johansson, like, their roster is not very good. Like, do you have enough to finish this week off and win these next two games? I don't know. Like, well, Arizona, you know, they had been on, I guess for them, a mini heater. They'd gotten points in, like, eight straight at one point, and then last night they played Calgary, and they lost 6-3 and got outshot 51-14. So, shows you what they're going through.
It made up a little bit for all this heater they've been on.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
51-14 at home.
Man.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, if you're in the Preds room right now, first of all, I'd never buy, oh, I don't listen to anything, I don't read anything, I don't know what's going on. I think for the most part that's not true. So you know that, you know, basically we're all out here saying sell, 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 punt, right. This team isn't good enough. And then you lose Johansson, and you know that's long-term. You're not sure when Forsberg's coming back. Maybe he's back by the Pittsburgh game next week. Maybe not. Yep. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's pretty clear that that's one of those that they just don't know.
I mean, it's pretty clear to me a concussion, right?
It sure seems that way.
Yeah,
because that's the kind of thing that can go an extra month when I've seen it happen before. Who knows? So if look, anybody playing, there's some young guys, there are people who are trying to make their way in the league and secure a place and try. I mean, we talked about some of the young guys, you know, Cody Glass, who was a good story. You know, Tomasino's got his opportunity now. He's going to, I think certainly now, given he is going to be here. So there's a lot of incentive and, you know, and just like individually and things like that. But man, it's got to be tough in that room right now to feel good about where things are. Collectively.
I'm just saying, it was a nice goal by Tomasino the other night.
It was. It was
a nice goal.
Well, I thought that he – I noticed him beyond that.
Like, yeah.
You know, he can skate, you know. He's got some skill.
That's the thing. Like, we'll never know now because I've been consistent on this from the moment they sent him down this year. I thought it was a mistake. And if he comes out and, you know, he's semi-productive moving forward – like, a lot of the response is going to be, well, see, what have y'all been doing? Like, why didn't he make the team out of camp? And, like, the Predators' response would be, well, we sent him to Milwaukee, and he got ready, and now he's ready to go.
That's like, true. You could always spin it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, whoever's watching on the stream, I just spilled bubbly all over my face. I'm really – I'm sorry if you had to watch that. I'm drenched in bubbly, grapefruit bubbly.
I got a text that says, which is more impressive, the all-time Coyotes roster – or the Titans' all-time wide receiver room?
Yes.
That's a great question.
I was thinking that as we were talking about that. Think about that ring of honor. In a serious just stream of consciousness right now, ring of honor, Taylor Lewan, ring of honor?
I don't think so.
Michelle's looking at me like, dude, really? Did you ask that? I don't think so either.
Really? But,
yeah. Oh, you do or you don't?
I think I do.
You think he's in the Ring of Honor?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you look at the list of people, and it's lofty. I mean, for the most part, it's not Hall of Fame as a prerequisite.
No, but it's pretty clear. It's pretty
but
good.
But it's, yeah.
No, he was good. He was good
for a
long time.
Very good player, but yeah, I don't think, yeah. Derrick Henry, yes.
For sure.
Would he be the only
Kevin
Byard? See, I was thinking him.
Better chance than Lewan.
I don't think we're there yet.
No, but he's got more football. Better chance than Lewan. AJ Brown, obviously.
Yeah,
clearly.
The day he retires, AJ Brown's in the Ring of Honor for the Titans.
Also, Julio Jones.
He could have been. Yeah, exactly. AJ, but in all seriousness, AJ Brown should be a Ring of Honor. He should down the line after his long career at the Titans be in the Ring of Honor.
I mean that Coyotes roster: Shea Weber, Chris Pronger, Pavel Datsyuk, Marian Hossa. It's pretty good.
God,
wide receivers.
How many
for the Titans.
Cups did they get?
Yeah, wide receiver for the Titans, AJ Brown. Well, I guess does he count?
Julio Jones, Randy Moss, Andre Johnson.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah,
David Gibbons, put him in there too.
Oh.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant, or excuse me, it's time for the Rob Rant. We're not doing the Rex Rant.
It is.
We've punted. We're going the Rob Rant.
Better rant.
Coming up next, you can check it out every morning at 745. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie. Still vibing, kid?
Still vibing, bud.
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing, 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 vibe, 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 vibe.
We're vibing, Robbie.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. I guess that's fitting coming back today as to what I'm about to rant about.
I remember the first time that we played that, and Ryan Porth was so, like, he was like,
very proud
he was
himself.
In the club in there.
Oh, yeah. He was fired up. Yeah.
I can picture him, like, full DJ mode, just really vibing.
He was flailing around.
He was very fired up.
Yeah.
All right. So we've discussed the Ryan Johansson injury. Look, there's a lot to get into on that front in terms of what it means for the hockey team. I fully recognize that. Some of the reaction I saw to it yesterday, and I'm not surprised by it because it's not unique to, you know, a certain portion of the Predators fan base or anything. Like, it's the way things work in sports. I get it. But some of the reaction in the immediate aftermath of the Johansson injury yesterday, at least the announcement of the surgery, I just thought it was pretty weak. Like, just the immediately, like, man, well, can't trade him now. That sucks. His cap hit is absolutely terrible. He's been awful all year. Look, we've talked a lot about Ryan Johansson and the underperforming that has come with the most part for this contract. Certainly this year, he has underperformed. There's no question. I get all that. And I'm not really asking for people to feel sorry for professional athletes who make a lot of money to play a game. I get all that all these things come with the territory. But, like, can we not give it, like, an hour or a day when the guy has to have surgery before you just jump all over him about his contract and how horrible it is that the Predators can't trade it now? Which, by the way, I saw a lot of that yesterday. Well, Preds can't trade him now. And, like, what universe do y'all think the Predators are going to be able to trade Ryan Johansson this year at the deadline on that contract anyway?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way a little bit yesterday. Some of the reaction that I got when I talked about it on Twitter yesterday – and just some of the reaction that I've seen on a few different platforms. Like, I get it. Ryan Johansson's contract has not been great. Certainly this year he's making a lot of money and the production doesn't add up. I understand all that stuff. Look, I think if he's honest, he understands a lot of that stuff. But, like, can we not give it an hour or a day before you just kill the guy when it's announced that he's having surgery for having a skate blade cut some part of his body? Like, I'm just asking for a little bit of empathy here. It, for whatever reason, it just drove me nuts yesterday seeing that stuff.
Are you suggesting we should treat these human beings like human beings?
Yeah, I mean,
radical.
Again, like, I get it. They're professional athletes. Nobody's feeling all that sorry for professional athletes with the money that they make and all that stuff. I understand that. And I'm not really asking you to. But just for like a little bit, maybe think about, man, you know what? That kind of sucks for Ryan Johansson. I may not like the contract. I may not like that he's on the team. But I don't want to see a skate blade enter the back of his body and him have to have surgery on it. Like, maybe think about that part of it a little bit first before you think about, crap, can't trade him now. That sucks. Like, I saw too much of that yesterday, and I was like, man, do you not have, like, any empathy whatsoever? Let's try to find some. That's all I got.
Hey, preaching to the choir, man. I'm totally with you. It's kind of a depressing – I mean, I guess it's maybe not the most depressing thing about social media and things. Like, there's a lot of good about it and the conversations and everything, but it's just – there's a lot of people who just – this is just – I mean, they aren't humans, right? They're just – they're numbers, they're – it's fantasy football, fantasy hockey, whatever. And again, I mean, I don't think it's like everyone should, shed a tear when someone gets hurt.
Right. I'm not asking.
Yeah, there's
that.
A nice, middle ground of just, maybe pump the brakes a little
bit. Look, I realize that, I've been around Ryan Johansson for a long time and, I know him somewhat, but, and a lot of people haven't been. So I get all that. But just the guy had a skate blade into the back of his leg. Like, it's a scary thing. Like, can we not just acknowledge that before we get into the trade stuff? I don't know. It just drove me nuts.
Like, at least yesterday. Have, like, oh, that really sucks for him. And now we can't trade him. Like, have a sentence, at the beginning of the tweet.
It's like, good Lord. It's like some of the reaction I saw yesterday was just, like, glossing over the injury. It's like, oh, we're stuck with this contract forever. Like, I get it. Predators fans are mad. We've talked about this. This is, if it's not the most mad I've ever seen the fan base, I mean, it's got to be right there with it. But I think it is. I think it's probably the most mad I've ever seen the Predators fan base. So I understand that. It's hard to separate that part of it. I get all that. I really do. Like, I sometimes I think we go too far the other way of like, well, I feel really bad for this guy. So-and-so, he just got cut, and now he only gets to make $35 million a year where he goes and finds another team. Or such-and-such just got fired. Well, okay. Well, he's got a – $25 million buyout. I think he's going to be okay by the time he finds his next job. But, like, with an injury that you have to have surgery on, I think it's a little bit different. Just saying.
Okay, so here's a text on the text line, which is just, right, just perfect. If I could be as bad at my job as Johansson is at his and still get full paid, I'd have some sympathy. All this could be fixed if they fired Poile, but this is a garbage sports town, so we should expect all this. Okay, Poile fired, garbage sports town, whatever. I mean, seriously, man. So, you'd have some sympathy if he was better. The awful injury, as it appeared, and potentially career-altering, certainly painful. Yeah, surgery sucks.
I have no idea how bad this could be.
Right. But then you'd have sympathy. No, so basically, the texture.
That's what I'm talking about.
Unnamed texture. You were feeding into this exactly.
Well, you're an ass. It's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so, seriously, what a garbage text.
So, I mean, this is what I'm talking about here. I mean, it's just. There's just no common sense that you use sometimes.
Well, there's no humanity.
Just for a day. The guy has a skate blade cut into his body. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
It's a different situation, and we've discussed this situation several times, but it's been a while. But the day of the Isaiah Wilson stuff went, again, there is some information I had that it's off the record, so. But I tried to kind of say that, like, you don't know everything, guys. So maybe have a little bit of grace for the kid. But, the crap I took on Twitter, including from some genius sports media people in this town, was predictable. But it's kind of up the same. It's kind of right up the same alley, of like, just take a step back and remember, someone really good at sports and, yep, make a lot of money. I get it. But also, like, a 21-year-old kid. Yeah. I mean, Johansson is all of
– He's 30.
Of 30, yeah. And that's old, but
– Yes, it is.
Still young.
Yes, it is. I got a text that says, I understand what you're saying, but this is a Pred who has majorly underperformed on the ice the last few years. So, yes, I feel bad for what happened, but I also understand the sentiment of it sucks for monetary value. Look, I get it. It's not good. But, like, the monetary value part of this, I don't really understand. Like, they were not going to be able to trade Ryan Johansson. Like, I don't know what universe y'all are living in where you think that they were going to be able to trade Ryan Johansson.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, it's also totally wrong that you think that. Like, there was it doesn't change anything. His contract is not movable. I suppose, you know, again, the idea of, you know, sending a prospect or whatever, doing different things. Like, basically, he's here. The contract is here. I mean, I guess if you want to get into the nitty-gritty on this, maybe the possibility of a buyout, which I always thought was a possibility, is increased here. This texter, by the way, comes back with, sorry your friend got hurt, Robbie. I have sympathy for you. All right.
Okay. I mean, thanks.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not asking us to, like, sit here and, like, you know, have some, like, vigil session for Ryan Johansson's career or the end of this season. I'm just saying, like, maybe give it a day.
Just be kind. It's really not that hard. It's so easy to just say all of this in a text. Okay, I'm getting real mad right now because people, it's just so easy for people to bash somebody on Twitter or on a text line. Be like, oh my God, you get paid all this $1 million. Dude, he's a person at the end of the day. What if you don't know how much one of your friends makes and how well they do at their job? Like, just because you watch him. Like, David Poyle obviously thinks he does fine enough to be on this roster, and yeah, he gets paid a lot of money, but he's a person and he got hurt, and just chill the heck out and be freaking nice.
Yeah, just, yeah, I mean, just like you said, take a minute.
Just take a minute.
Take a second.
Look, if you want to, we're eventually going to have to talk about the contract, right? Like, they're going to have a decision to make on Ryan Johansson's contract. Like, you just laid it out. Like, I do think there is a possibility, without having any idea how ownership feels about this. Like, I think there's a possibility that maybe he's a buyout candidate. We talked about that last week before the injury took place.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying we can't discuss the contract. The contract is a part of the discussion.
Yeah, eventually that's where you go.
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't need to be your first reaction when the guy's having surgery on the back of his leg.
Oh, my God, there's a skate blade in the back of his leg. Oh, great, the freaking contract. Oh, we're screwed.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
No,
I
just, you're not.
You're not.
I'm totally with you. Matt the Trashman says people with no work ethic or humanity are the ones making these comments.
Ooh, burn.
So maybe that's a little, you know, that might be a little bit broad brushing things, but definitely people who do it should think before they comment. Also, when you say you see these things, you're talking mostly on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cesspool of utter just death and awfulness, I need to get off there.
Josh from Columbia says, Joey is the best center the Predators have ever had. Give him some slack. And again, first off, I think he's right. Now, I think that's also probably commentary on the centers the Predators have had over the course of the year. So,
yes.
I mean, we get in that discussion at some point. And I'm not saying, like, the Predator, like, you should just excuse his underperforming based on him getting hurt. But no, let's just use a little common sense here. That's all I'm asking.
Be kind is a good, Be human.
That's all I'm asking. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com.
Speaking of a kind human.
We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the roster moves that the Titans made yesterday as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.